The title of this presentation is The Giant Swing. Its Brahmanical origins and its religious significance to Thailand. I'll be your host and walk you through the presentation. My name is Willard van de Bogart. And the photograph on the left on slide number one is the front cover of the book The Meaning of the Vedas by Ravindra Gadbole from Pune, India. You'll see wavy, fiery objects, fireballs coming out of space, and we will mention these further on in the slide. On the right is the iconic and famous giant swing as it stands today in Bangkok. You'll note that the cross beam doesn't have any ropes hanging from it, so swinging has been discontinued since around the mid-40s due to some serious accidents. So now it's just a symbol, and it's this symbol that captured my curiosity to find out what it was that the giant swing really did represent. Going to slide number two, the presentation is about the ancient act of swinging, and we will cover many of the ways of swinging around the world. This is a very old photograph showing the Nalawans, four of them, on a big plank suspended from the crossbar on the giant swing in Bangkok around, oh, say, 1942. So this is the story of the giant swing, and it began in Thailand around 1625 in Ayutthaya, but there have been indications that it did take place in Sukhothai, perhaps in the 13th century, perhaps earlier, and other places in Thailand. In slide number three, I'd like to acknowledge and thank Pra Rajaguru Vamadeva Muni, who is the royal priest of the Office of the Royal Household, and myself on his right. And Rajguru is the serves the royal family for all of the royal ceremonies, and this picture is taken during the royal swing ceremony on January 11th and 20th of 2011. Slide number three is the presentation is about origins of a cosmocentric universe. So what I'm about to explain is very, very rich in content, very complex. It has historical roots that if I were to touch upon even a fraction of the content, I would have to thank the powers that be, which formed our understanding of the divinity in the universe. So in an age long ago, the gods spoke to early man. I show you in the top right corner, Shiva and Parvati underneath the moon. Then I show you below that a Hubble telescope photograph of an incoming comet into our atmosphere on Earth. It was taken in 2010. And then another one, the larger one, showing a comet streak. And then, of course, an artist's depiction of a comet hitting the Earth. The next slide, you can go to the movie, which shows an actual animation of a comet hitting the Earth. And then in the next slide, says the memory of the gods is still reenacted to this day. Here is a photograph of a hook swinging, which I will talk about more, in Calcutta. As late as 2008. This starts the beginning of the slideshow in the cosmology, where it says the cosmic egg had cracked and life started and emanated. In the center, we see a Brahman ring with a depiction with a gem. A golden gem surrounded by diamonds and the stars. And we have the universe breaking out into all kinds of manifestations. So we start the slideshow by giving thanks to several people that have contributed information to me and I have researched so we can have an overview of the meaning, the ancient meaning of this giant swing. And this is Han Klusterman, and he's made a comment: instead of an evolutionary success, we might be a mere post-catastrophe pioneer species. By this, we are a species that survived many catastrophes, and this is a catastrophist manifesto presented in El Capoco in 2007, but it gets into the schism between catastrophism and uniformitarianism, and we claim we live on a highly dynamic planet that tumbles and gyrates and spirals through a highly dynamic universe. So this sets the stage for the ideas of catastrophism. And then the next slide is a book that has been under research for 10 years. It's just been released by Jane O'Cook, and it's called Recovering the Lost World. And it's a complete synthesis of many scientific studies on the origins of the solar system, the planets in our solar system, the makeup of those planets, and the electrical interaction between the planets. And he goes on to talk about the subjective consciousness that slowly evolved in early humans. And the photograph that I have here has a sight line, you'll see, pointing south to a yellowish object called a plasmoid. And I've also shown a rough outline of India, and there's a reason for this. And this was something that could have been seen around 3000 BC. The next slide is a credit to Baidyanath Saraswati from the Indira Gandhi National Center for the Arts, who's come out with 5 volumes on the primal elements of in the oral traditions of many of the Adivasi, the original people of India. And how early man lived with nature was a way of life that manifested itself in ritual practices that sacralized nature, so that he could live as an integral part of the universe. Early man had an unceasing dialogue with the elements, with the earth and the air, water, fire, and space. And what is being expressed is nature was not an intellection, but a life here and now. It was very integrated. In the next slide, James George Frazer, in the last part of the Golden Bough, which was a big study in the early part of the 20th century, swinging as a magical rite. Frazer, in his section of the Dying God, surveyed all the shamans who had done swinging, and many, many cultures that had done swinging. So this was a good survey to review the history of swinging. And the next slide, the theme of swinging in shamanism and folk culture was done by a couple Russian researchers. And the cultural theme of swinging is the universal metaphor for real as well as for conceptual motion and the way in space-time for many cultures. So this is really, I found to be a very significant research because they were researching all the shamans in Siberia, Mongolia, and they classified it as ritual for purification, magic ritual connected with agriculture, perhaps imitation of a sexual act, a form of traditional amusement, perhaps a ritual of symbolic banishment of evil forces, and a symbol of cyclical time. I think that's a very, very broad kind of overview of what they thought the reasons for swinging was for many of these cultures in the steppes. But now let's have a look at the Adivasi Hook Swinging of India. This is a very fine collection from Dr. Pritchett from Columbia University. And I had found a book, a 1913 book, Hook Swinging in India, Its Origin, Significance. But let's look at this, what they call in this painting by James Moffat, the Churapuja at a central pole. And there is a man on the very end hanging. And this is the Ganges in Kashi. And it's, 1806, a couple hundred years ago. Next slide, we have a 1782 depiction where, if you will look very closely, the man has hooks in his back. He has a sword. He's, banishing the sword at the onlookers, and someone is lifting him up. The next slide is, it's a species, this one is called a species of penance practiced at the festival of the goddess Bhavani. This was done in 1820. And here you can see someone tied at the end, a circle of people looking on. And the British, you might note, banished hook swinging, but it still takes place in many places in rural India. Next slide. This is a very, very old 1572 a drawing where the actual people are impaled on a central pole. And on the right, they open the door to reach the knowledge of paganism. And you can see that these are very, very interesting kinds of depictions of what perhaps the Europeans thought was actually what they saw, and perhaps what they thought was going on. Next slide. A very, very nice, colorful, festive for costumes. 1824 in Florence, you can see a man hanging again and someone pulling him down at the other end in the back. Another one is hanging. It looks like it's a gay, happy time, and a lot of activity and ceremony and just having a lot of fun to watch the people swinging in the air. This one, the next slide by Fanny Parks, is a little bit more, I think, realistic. And the reason I say that is because I've read so much about the sacrifice that actually took place with people who were swinging, and even more being dragged through furrows in the land. So the swinging did have a fertility aspect to it. But why are they hooked, and why are they spinning? And that is a very, very good question to ask. But if we leave the hook swinging of India and then we go to northern Thailand, we see the Akha tribe. And the Akha tribe, they place four poles directly into the earth, and they swing out from the top. The color photograph on the right is a 2011 photograph, and the photograph on the right is about 1930. So the Siam Society here in Bangkok has a lot of research from the old ceremonies that the Akha used to perform. This is Nepal, and as you can see, a young girl swinging in her native costume with a frayed rope. And the next one is the Dashain. It's the annual ceremony in Nepal. And again, the poles, the four poles, are placed in the ground. And it's only natural to think that these are cardinal points, the four cardinal points. But still the swinging is in the center, going out and back. And this is kind of like always taking place. Even in the next slide, the Native Americans that the Sioux do body piercing and suspension. In that regard, it's a help the inner sun rise from the darkness, or spiritual life emerge from the instinctive life. Next slide shows in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, where you have the volador, the flying pole ceremony, called the Birdman from Heaven. If you look at that, it reminds me of Godboli's front cover that I had starting this presentation, and the four people, it looks like they're falling right out of the sky. Next slide. Some of the contemporary images in doing more research, going back to 200 BC up to 200 AD, the festivals in China are performed with swings for the tomb swinging festival, as well as the dragon boat festival. Next slide goes to a much more romantic depiction of swinging. And next slide, the Kanetwigi, a Korean swing. There's a ceremony even in Korea with the beating of drums and hanging a swing on a tree. Next slide is a National Geographic showing a young boy in Greenland swinging. In Bali, they have a lot of swinging and ceremonies on double swings. In Europe, 1767, I think one of the most famous paintings was The Happy Accidents of the Swing by Fragonard. And I think it's quite beautiful to see the tree again and the lovely lady hanging on the ropes and swinging again. And then we go to 1542 and a very famous painting by Lucas Cranach from Germany. And it's a triptych, and you can see on the left some horses galloping and some dark clouds. And on the bottom, some small children playing with the dog. And on the right, you see some children looking out the window, and all of a sudden the baby is in the swing. And the symbolism in this man's work is quite extensive. But in this particular picture, we have the serpent and the swing ropes, the baby, the tree, the four pillars on top of the mountain. An ancient story is being told here with a river flowing. And I'm going to try to do the same. The third part of the triptych shows that the storm cloud has actually toppled the mountain, and the babies are trying to put the sphere through a hoop. And what might that symbolize? And I will get to that later as well. If we go to Greece, we have the very ancient story swinging like Erigone, which is memorializes a sacred love-death tragedy, where she hung herself after discovering her father dead in a well. And before her death, she married Dionysus, and the girls would sing a song where they would touch the grapes at the height of their ascent, of their growth. So again, why is Aragon swinging? And here is a sort of a Greco-Roman depiction of a woman swinging. But most fascinating was the uncovering of an ancient swing in Crete, and this goes back to 650 BC, the dove-blessed pillars of Knossos. In the Sumerian creation mythology, the primordial ocean woman, Tiamat, covered the sky. And Marduk, her son, slayed her and split her in two, forming the sky over the earth with the rite of cutting a dove in 2 during the spring equinox. The dove is Venus, Marduk is Jupiter, Tiamat is the plasmoid of Venus. So what I just said there is an interpretation of why do you have a 650 BC figurine swinging on two pillars that are capped by doves. If we go to the next slide, we see another girl on a swing, 6th century, from the Dokra Loswas casting sculpture of India. This is a very, very old technique. It was done over 4,000 years ago in Mohenjo-Jaro, an artifact from Harappa civilization. And these tribes are still all over India. But again, we have a very unusual piece where you have spikes on the top, a sun-looking image, and a girl, again, swinging. It's time now to change the content of the presentation and introduce Berrindale Keith, who in 1908 had translated the Sankayana Aranyaka, which contains a Brahmana-style discussions, especially of dangerous rituals, such as the Mahavrata and the Pravagaya. And therefore, this sruti had to be learned in the wilderness because it was very dangerous. And this is a very, very well-known sruti. And if we go through a few books such as Iliad's Yoga, and we go into his work with ascetics and ecstatics in the Vedas, the cosmic structure of the Vratra was the first importance with the aboriginal population of India. And the swing at the time was actually called a ship bound for heaven. And we find this, next slide, we find this in the Vedic scriptures. Another book that's very important is the Upanishads and the Aranyakas indulge in mystical interpretations existing in the oldest Upanishads. And they talk of the Gayatri meters, thrice repeated, the breath is thrice inhaled and exhaled. And these are interpretations and substitutes for ritual practices. So these are being taught all the time. Next slide. We go to the actual mythology of India, where we're now seeing the gods swinging in the gardens, and we see peacocks. And next slide, we see a very beautiful Indian pichwai hanging, a cloth hanging of one of the gods swinging, and another lovely Shiva and Parvati. Swinging. Notice that it's got 4 swings on a bench. I can't talk about all the symbolism right now. A couple lions facing them. Next slide, please. And we have here is a very beautiful, mythical representation of the gods of India. Next slide. Again, another beautiful tapestry, the gods swinging again. And now we come to, after we've seen all this swinging, we jump now into Thailand. And a swing, it turns out, was presented to King Ramathai Bodhi II of Ayutthaya in 1623 by 2 Brahmins from southern Thailand. We learn this from a very, very accurate record by Jeremiah Van Flight, who was head of all the shipping to Holland at the time. And the picture that I have on the right is what Bangkok looked like, a sketch of Bangkok in 1787. And you'll see a very, very small swing in a little village. Next slide. And This particular photograph, around 1935, you see the ropes hanging on the left, but you also see on the right the state ceremonies, their history and function. And the swinging festival was recorded for the first time in 1931 by H.G. Quatrich Wales. And he goes on to say what they were actually doing. Next slide, please. But at the same time, Quatrich Wales was writing about it. In 1892, another man, G.E. Grinney, wrote a book, a retrospective view of the Mahachat ceremony, the actual the birthing of the Buddha, and the discussing of this ship that's mentioned so often in the Vedas. And every mythology and cosmogony, we find the mention of either a ship or an ark as an instrument or vehicle or both, material, spiritual salvation. The picture I have in the bottom of a god on a swing, on a boat, I'll talk about a little later. Next slide, please. Then we come to the giant swing rededication. In 2007, there's King Ajalay Bhumipal, King Rama the Ninth, and you can see it's a very festive time. Thousands of people came out. Next slide. And I juxtapose before 1934, they were swinging, and now today the same swing is there, but there are no ropes. There is no more swinging. And in the city itself of Bangkok, there are very two symbols, the giant swing and the pillar. And there is a special shrine for the city pillar. So this indicates the Axis Mundi, the center of the universe. So these come from very, very, very ancient Brahmanical rituals. And the swing is regarded as the most important spiritual icon in Bangkok. If you go into King Rama the Fourth's temple that he had built, you'll see some murals about what old Bangkok looked like. And it's important to note that King Rama the Fourth was very much into astronomy. Here on the left you see him looking at a solar eclipse, and on the right is a picture of the moon. These are very beautiful murals that are on the walls in the temple. Next slide. You see there was a full, for the first time, he did predict a full solar eclipse, and the mural painting is on the left. On the right is a photograph I took of the full solar eclipse in India in 2009. Next slide, please. So the whole idea of Thailand and its swings and its temples and its whole geospace is talked about by Thong Chai Unichakul. And it's important in his work to see how space is imagined and drawn. So here we see the Buddha's footprint on the top of a mountain and some paths and some water. And next slide, please. Here we have a very important picture. It's call the tripum cosmography. It's the qualitative manifestation of imagined existence. So it's a Siamese map, 18th century, from the tripum Prabhuang, 13th century Sukhothai. But the picture actually shows the king and maybe a trident of Shiva, the conch shell. It could be Vishnu, but the god is amongst many boats in space. And this particular picture was shown to many Europeans who came over to Thailand and asked if anybody had a map of the surrounding area. They were very interested in borders and demarcation, and this is actually what was presented. Next slide. So the mural paintings of the giant swing at Wat Chaprattet shows a lot of ceremony as took place all the way up till 1937. And next slide, you can see that it was outside. There were hundreds of people that would be watching. Next slide, please. And here is another mural painting in Wat Suthat. Next slide, please. And here is the full mural with the Buddha and the swing on the bottom. Note there is no ropes on that swing on the bottom. So actually, that's a later mural painting. Next slide, please. So Dr. Charapat Pandavita of the Sanskrit Study Center said that the Triambavay and the Tripavay ceremony, that actually is what the swinging ceremony is called, was reminiscent of the Brahma Matsavam for Lord Venkatesvara of the Triupati in Tirupati, India. So at this time, according to the legend, the festival was started by a Brahma at the time when the Pallava king, Tondamian, completed the construction of a temple. And it had the same kind of timing. Next slide, please. And the history of Tirupati, there is a Ana Unjal. It's a swan swing festival. And this is recorded in like 1230 AD. And also a Dola Mahatsva Ana Unjal Triunal, which is 1473 AD. So all of a sudden, the Brahmins, the temples, of course, are enormous, but the swings are still being used. On that next slide, you can actually watch the movie of the original swing in Bangkok. I've sent them up to the service, so it's an AVI film, and you can watch this 1945 film. Next slide, please. So the question is, how far back in time can we find images of swinging? 5,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago? And if we did find images of swinging 5,000 years ago, was it because early humans enjoyed swinging, as the Russians were saying, or was it a representation of some other natural phenomena? Such as maybe electromagnetic discharge over the earth? And if so, how would this phenomena be interpreted, say, in 3100 BC? If you bear with me and look at the solar flares coming from the sun and the blue images around the earth on the left, and on the right, you have in the middle, you have what I call a plasma column. These are electrically charged particles within a solar wind. You know, it's a connection between the magnetic field of the Earth and the solar flares coming from the sun. And on the far, far right, you see I have placed a petroglyph, and it looks as though the petroglyph it's a person. Holding on to two ropes or two somethings, and I'm also showing in the center picture of the plasma column the white lines coming down as if they were ropes. Okay, so now let's go to the next slide, please. And if we look at an enlarged version of this petroglyph in the center, and then compare the photograph on the left, actual currents that are photographed in space, we understand now that there were large current active electrical current or electrical displays in the atmosphere that could be seen by our ancient ancestors. And these were the result of the making of the petroglyphs. And this is a petroglyph in Australia, which is shows a radial petroglyph, a center point with many lines radiating out around from that center. And here is a photograph of a plasma burst, next slide please, from a supernova. So notice the lines, there's about 56 radiating lines around that for each one of the bursts that are coming from this nebula. And let's have a look at the Tandava, the dancing Shiva, his cosmic dance. And in this sculpture with the flames going around, there's 56 of them, 56 flames. And the Indian government actually presented a very large sculpture of this to the European Center for Nuclear Research. Now, the reason for this is that the Shiva symbolism represents more than the mythology of a dance. It represents atomic activity in the universe. So I can't get into this, but Fritzof Kapper's quotes is on the plaque, and the man responsible for this kind of work is Dr. Anthony Peratt. Next slide, please. And you can look at the radial plasma discharge of the Shiva wheel. It's only 21 megabytes. Next slide, please. Now what I want to do is I want to show you the original, the drawing that we had from the 15th century and a couple petroglyphs. And what I'm trying to show here is the play that we see on the petroglyphs and the kind of enactment of some, you may not think of it as play, but some sort of activity in the center. Next slide, please. And I couldn't help but see strong relationships between this petroglyph and a person actually swinging. I mean, they look almost identical. Next slide, please. Again, we take that photograph from the 1804, was it? And again, compare it to another petroglyph, sort of like dangling out in space on a rope. Okay, let's keep that in mind, and let's now come up to some very recent research in Bhubaneswar, which is in Orissa on the east coast of India. And what I'm showing here is a map of Bhubaneswar and radiating lines coming out from a red circle with white circles at the end. These represent temples that are in the surrounding area of Bhubaneswar. And you can see the temples over at the right, the temple complex in central Bhubaneswar. And this is the work of Deepak Bhattacharya. He is the first one to actually do this research. Now let's have a look at what he's actually done in a three-dimensional model. He has the location of the ancient heritage sites in Bhubaneswar, and he has them indicated by color lines and the significant shapes of the temples, and he's depicted that in a graphic. And now next slide, please. If what he's done is he is discovered that the temple placement is very congruent with the placement of the stars in the Orion constellation. And next slide, please. The idea here is that the in the Purana mentions that the forest of Taraka, where Lord Shiva in his form appeared first. So here in the forest where heretics have practiced Mimamsa at the center of the universe. And this is very secret rituals. And the term also means falling stars. So Bhattacharya took Taraka and referenced it to a radial star pattern in his study. And the Mimamsa school practiced theory and origins of sound. So the Vedas, the theory meaning inherent in sound, not a historical tongue, but a emanation, hence the power of sacred mantras. And this is what Heinrich Zimmer has said in his work. So here we have, all of a sudden we're seeing that the originations of sounds and temple constructions related to star systems. And how do, what am I getting to? Next slide, please. Well, you'd have to, first of all, see how the rituals and really evolved. And the Shrauta rituals dedicated to Agni, the fire, and Soma. And even today, the Agnihotra is still performed in India. But what's most important is this the Sankanyana Sutra. Next slide, please. So let's have a look now at the temple on the left and the star configuration, and we put a compass over it. And we also note that on the very top of Bhubaneswar temple, Mukteswar, there are these lions that are around and very fine edge lines. So what Bhattacharya has discovered is these little Dola Bedis are all around Bhubaneswar. We have one here on the left, a platform, and we have a Torana, which is a arched for to hang and a swing. And then in the center of Bhubaneswar, we have the radiating lines going out into star systems. Next slide, please. So this swing festival in Kalinga that takes place every year. Let's look at the work that Bhattacharya has done by placing the star and the alignments over the dancing Shiva. And I've given us four photographs. On the far left, the Taraka on top of the dancing Shiva. And then we have the Orion stars lining up with the hands and the feet. And then the star constellation itself. And then a swing, which appears in the Mukteswar in the temple. So the position of the arms and feet representing movement of stars is what I'm getting at. So next slide, please. So here we have this particular, on the left door still at Sri Mukteswar, Siddheswar, as Bhattacharya has corrected, a image of someone swinging. We have, it looks like a vine with these serrated little balls on the outside edge, very similar to the petroglyph. Next slide, please. And on this particular one at the Tenayamunda Junction in Bhubaneswar, we have a swans going across on the Tirana, the Hansa Dadi swan procession. It's very rare. They represent the Brahmanas who would sit on their swings under the arch, and they're the hook swings. The next slide, please. So the other Makara Tiranas in Bhubaneswar, also a Dola Bedi swing podium. And the picture on the right is a very recent ceremony this year. But what's it's really important here, and I have to emphasize that Lord Sri Lingaraja is taken here during a Dola Purnima. And the star Sirius is Ludaka, which is the consort to Rudra. So the temple on the ground is the Gauri temple. So the Sri Lingaraja is taken to the Gauri temple to get married. And before the 10th century, Shiva was presiding a deity. Old relationship between Rudra and Lubhadaka in Orion. What is going on? Next slide, please. So the Rajo is a date in the solar calendar of Kalinga, and it's coincident with the Gemini asterism. And it's at this time in the Gemini asterism that the sun coincides. So the term Mathuna means courtship. It's the first day when the asterism makes the contact with the eclipse. The second day is the Sankranti, and this is one of the most famous festivals in India. The main day of the Swing Festival, the full moon of the spring equinox, called the Dolap Purnima. Next slide, please. This Orion constellation sits, you know, equidistant on the north and the southern hemisphere, and it moves up and down. And the moving up and down I'm showing here, even on the Madrid Codex, on the turtle's back, with all the stars identified, even the Mayans had their own imagery of a swing of the stars moving in Orion up and down. And this is where stories start to get told. Next slide, please. Here is a astroarchaeologist who shows a courtship by two people going towards one another, and the ecliptic and the back and forth movement again. Next slide, please. And here, again, the courtship at one end of the axis, galactic axis, and the galactic center and the anti-center. And the courtship of Gemini that can be seen from Earth. Next slide, please. And then we come actually to this ship that I was talking to earlier in the Tanda Mahabrahmana. The swing is called the ship bound for heaven. Also the sacrificer, or the bird flying to heaven. And here we have Sri Ganjana Temple on the Kuruma Beta turtle fortification. Beside the eastern gate, the mighty Kalinga sovereign sits on a swing, slung from a canopy, on a large ship in sailing mode. Bhattacharya was able to go to the naval gallery and actually take a picture of the same sketch. There's only one of these kept in the museum. Now, let's leave Bhubaneswar and just take a look at some of these other temples. The Maladevi temple has the same configuration. It's an unfinished temple. But here we have the Maladevi temple with a Hindola Tarana at Jayaraspur, with the hooks in place, and a swing would be here. And this is the great Vijayanagara Empire of the 15th century. This is a fabulous example of a stone Tarana swing in India. And here, what I'm doing here is the chariot brings the gods to the swing. The Ratha Yatra is usually a ceremony unto itself. And mythologically, you have the seven Adityas. Now, these seven Adityas are very important. Next slide, please. Because they represent something going on in the heavens. This is, I think, the most beautiful example, the Chamundi Temple, where you have the pillar and the swing, the same way as in Bangkok, only a little bit further removed, and places for the hooks, and serrated little images on the column, as you notice. Next slide, please. Again, at the Kalyan, Matapam, and Lipakshi. Another Tarana type image. Okay, so those were the temples and the swinging took place. And now we come to our first photograph of the presentation and the meaning of the Vedas by Ravindra Gadbole. This is the most innovative work. I was able to get a translation of the work. And Gadbole has interpreted the Harappan scripts, and working with the Tata Institute in Mumbai, shows that there was a direct observance of some celestial event that took place in 3100 BC. And Gadbole's work was influenced by Claude Benepier, who presented their work to the Royal Astronomical Society in 1997. So any next slide, please. The book that the Club of Nuppier wrote, The Cosmic Serpent, talks about the Taurid meteors in an asteroidal belt that hit the Earth. And the reason this photograph is being displayed in the presentation is because NASA just took this photograph in 2010. And it shows exactly what's happening to the front of a meteor as it enters into the atmosphere. Now, let's look at a very rare seal from Harappa on the right. And it is a sort of a starfish seal, and compare it with the image on the left. So it's the ancient, and then, excuse me, then let's look at the ancient ritual of the Mahavrata. Now, in the Antarya Aranyaka, performed at the end of a year-long yajna, there's a quote that says, they ask, why is swing a swing? He who blows is the swing. He swings forward in these worlds, and then a swing is a swing. These are translations of Vedic scripture. Next slide, please. And when Indra became mighty by destroying Vitra, Mahavrata came into existence. So when the waters were destroyed, Mahavrata came into existence. Now, this Mahavrata is sort of like an awareness, and in the script that we have, the Harappan script on the left, we see the seven images, the seven Adityas. And then at the top, we see a small figure swinging inside of a tree. So when we read the Rig Veda, it says, for that is indeed the oldest in the worlds, whence swung the terrible one with brilliant might. For from it was born who is terrible with brilliant might. And the prayer invites seven anointed kings, which are the seven Adityas. But their names, which is what's very interesting, the one who breaks, or the one who glitters, or the flying luminous object, or a flying horse, or golden-hued, having flames, shining bright. So the Sankhanyaya Sankhayana Aranyaka, let the Adityas mount thee with a Jagati meter. So there's a certain meter, there's a certain kind of sound that's coming out of that. And after them I mount thee for universal sway. All gods mount with the Anastubha meter. So there's another meter. Next slide, please. So in the Sankhanyana Aranyaka, I am minded to go to heaven, for this speech is going to go to heaven. So many indeed as he enumerates and shakes forth from the divine chariot, being yoked to his teacher, he is liable to be taken away. So he overcomes him, he places him in his body. So for such a divinity there is no piercing, no sword. Remember, and he who reviles him becomes worse. Not so he who knows this. There is no piercing who one who knows. Next slide, please. So here we have, now I'm really making the comparison between the very original people, or the early people of the Indian subcontinent eons ago, and this picture of a comet. Next slide, please. And if we were to take the fire ceremony around the world, and the depiction of a meteor, I've shown on the left the Bohemian Grove, Agni fire, the Burning Man recent, and a sacrifice on the right. Next slide, please. And then we come to the acknowledgments to Ravindragadbole and the meaning of the Vedas. So what he's done is he's pulling out of the Vedas commentary related to the swing. Now, this couldn't be more appropriate. The swing is made from the wood of an umbar tree. This is in the Rig Veda. It is supported by erecting two poles in the ground, using a rope from the dharma grass. hardly 7 to 6 inches above the ground, only can be sat in by a priest. And the priest slides to it like a serpent and puts his chin on the seat. And then he uses his hands to grip the ropes. And when he does that, he holds it in the air. And then you look at the plank. Next slide, please. You have the planks. And in the fifth verse, then the Hotra, after gathering himself, the plank of the swing, draws in his breath thrice. After thrice breathing out, the plank of the swing is of Jumbara wood. And then he mutters, "Thou art the sun. Let the Vasus mount thee with the Gayatri Mita. They are the mounters. After them I mount for royal sway." Then putting his left side over the swing, he mutters, "Let the Rudra mount thee. After them I mount thee for self-rule." Next slide, please. So if we go now to the temple, the Devastan Temple in Bangkok, and we look at a miniature swing, and we compare the horns of the bull with Shiva sitting on top of it with the bull horns of Kataljok in Crete, 500 BC, 600 BC. Next slide, please. Here we see a ceremony taking place where we are, well, it says opening the gates to Mount Kailash to receive Shiva. But what is being received? And why the horns? And now we have to go back. I've given you all this historical backdrop that you can apply. Next slide, please. So here you see an actual image of Shiva on the bull, the priest, lined up with the swing. Now, this isn't by accident. This is a very, very serious ceremony. Next slide, please. Here is, on January 11th, receiving Shiva. So Shiva is being asked to come to the earth, okay, to visit. But is it Shiva? Now, I don't want to get too complicated here. Next slide, please. On the 20th, the Shiva is sent back. So there's very, very many different kinds of things that must be done in the ceremony to prepare Shiva's journey back. And there's all these yantras. Next slide, please. We have all these yantra boards for placing the gods on the board. And after, next slide, please. And then we have the holy waters that are placed in certain squares. Next slide, please. And then we have the jewel, seven jewel conch shell. So all the conch shells are blown at a specific time. Next slide, please. You'll notice that the gods are sitting inside of a small shrine in front of Rajguru. And mantras are being made. Old, very ancient mantras are being made. And they are then removed and holy water is placed over them. Next slide, please. And then they are placed inside of a mandapa that's on top of a swan, a golden swan. Next slide, please. And here is the Rajguru who is placing the holy water next to the swan. Next slide, please. And here is several pictures of the swan suspended now from the crossbeam with the swing. Next slide, please. And here is, again, a full picture of Hamsa, which is Brahma's mount, ready for swing, and the holy light. Next slide, please. And as preparations are made, you will see a yantra with a stone, and this stone rolls back and forth over the yantra, symbolizing the movement going to Kailash. And the Rajguru will place his foot three times on this and roll it as the candles are lit. Next slide, please. And you can watch this ceremony, the swinging ceremony. Just go to this AVI movie. But here is the Tirupavai, Pavai genre of the Tamil Nadu Carnatic music. And Saint Antal, those who sing this Tribhuvai are forever acceptable to Sri Mahalakshmi and Sriman Narayana. Well, this is verse 30. But the lyrics that I've put here are by Anamanacharya. And it's a song which describes symbolically the cycle of creation as the divine sport of the Almighty. And he visualizes the swing as the cosmos, with Dharma as base. O Lord, you shine in all souls, and also in the air we breathe. The transient nature of creation is your divine lila and splendor. It is the divine swing. The dawn and dusk are mountain-like pillars, and the sky itself is beam across, bearing the swing like cosmos. The Vedas are golden chains, holding the swing safely. The seat of the cradle is Dharma. It is indeed an amazing swing. The panoramic clouds enhance your brilliance, shining like a blue mountain. The clouds are your ornaments. Next slide, please. Beautiful women feared that the cosmos would tilt, but they continue to push the swing swiftly. The scary movement of the swing made you embrace your consort. The celestial woman found your delight and happiness in the swing. It is a rare feast to Brahma and other celestials to worship you. The magnificent lord of Venkatatri is extremely delighted with the swing. But on the right, now, I have the photograph of the triptych that I showed you with the baby on the swing. And there are those that are analyzing these ancient symbolic paintings. And I won't really get into the details, but they are actually recalling also an apocalyptic past. Next slide, please. So here is one of our last slides. The ship bound for heaven. We have the swing over on the right from Bangkok with the Birkeland currents of the petroglyph. And we have the ship going across the sea from the anti-center to the center. And the next slide, please. We're all swinging, really. It's a trip we're all taking. So thank you very much, and I hope that swinging has a new kind of interpretation for you.